Reading the Word of God in the Old Testament and the second book of Chronicles, passages in chapters 17, 18, and 19. The story and the character of Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 17, 1 to 10. 18, 1 to 7, and 19, 1 to 10. 2 Chronicles 17 and 1. The name Jehoshaphat means the Lord has judged. The Lord has judged. Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, reigned in his stead and strengthened himself against the northern kingdom, the kingdom having been divided after the death of Solomon into 10 tribes in the north and the 2 in the south. Strengthened himself against the northern kingdom, Israel. He placed forces in all the fortified cities of Judah, and set garrisons in the land of Judah, and in the cities of Ephraim, which Asa his father had taken. The Lord was with Jehoshaphat, because he walked in the earlier ways of his father. And he did not seek the Baals, but sought the God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not according to the ways of the northern kingdom Israel, Jeroboam and those that followed him. Therefore the Lord established the kingdom in his hand, and all Judah brought tribute to Jehoshaphat, and he had great riches and honor. His heart was courageous in the ways of the Lord, and furthermore he took the high places and the Asherim, in the Authorized Version, the groves, out of Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent his princes, Ben-Hail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nathanael, and Micaiah, to teach in the cities of Judah, and with them the Levites, Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebadiah, Asahel, Shemiramoth, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah. And with these Levites, the priests, Elishama and Jehoram. And this is one of the most remarkable things in the whole of the Old Testament. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people, a teaching mission, almost unique in their history. And the fear, notice the result, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were round about Judah, and made no war against Jehoshaphat. Chapter 18, verse 1. Now Jehoshaphat had great riches and honor, and he made a marriage alliance with Ahab, the odious king of the north, husband of Jezebel. After some years he went down to Ahab in Samaria, and Ahab killed an abundance of sheep and oxen for him and for the people who were with him, and induced him to go up against the Syrians who had invaded at Ramoth Gilead across Jordan. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, "Will you go with me to Ramoth Gilead?" He answered, "I am as you are," this pagan monarch. "I am as you are, my people as your people. We will be with you in the war." And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Inquire first for the word of the Lord." Such a thing wouldn't have occurred to Ahab. Then the king of Israel gathered the prophets together, 400 men, and said to them, "Shall we go to battle against Ramoth Gilead, or shall I forbear?" And they said, "Go up, for God will give it into the hand of the king." God, notice, not Jehovah, the God of Israel. But Jehoshaphat said, Is there not here another prophet of the Lord? Notice the difference, the Lord, not merely God, of the Lord, of whom we may inquire. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord. He uses the word now, Micaiah, the son of Imla. But I hate him, for he never prophesies good concerning me, but always evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so, as it were to say, tut, tut. So, and I'll summarize the rest of this long chapter and get on to our reading in 19. So Micaiah is summoned and, of course, prophesied ill for Ahab, the wicked. And Micaiah is put in prison for his pains. But his prediction came true. Jehoshaphat, however, chose to ignore Micaiah's warning, and so the two kings indulged in a bit of business involving disguise. But the Lord's arrow had no difficulty in finding Ahab, although the bow was drawn at a venture, and so Ahab died, as we read in this 18th chapter, as predicted. And back to Jerusalem came Jehoshaphat, humbled and dispirited. Chapter 19, verse 1. Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. But Jehu the son of Hanani the seer, not the king, but the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you destroyed the Asherah out of the land and have set your heart to seek God. Jehoshaphat, repenting, dwelt to Jerusalem, and he went out again among the people from Beersheba in the south to the hill country of Ephraim to the border with the northern kingdom and brought them back to the Lord, the God of their fathers. Isn't that wonderful? He's the missioner, you see, himself. He appointed judges in the land, in all the fortified cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, consider what you do, for you judge not for man, but for the Lord. He is with you in giving judgment. Now then, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed what you do, for there is no perversion of justice with the Lord our God, or partiality, or taking bribes. Moreover, in Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed certain Levites and priests and heads of families of Israel to give judgment for the Lord and to decide disputed cases. They had their seat at Jerusalem, and he charged them, thus you shall do in the fear of the Lord, in faithfulness and with your whole heart. Whenever a case comes to you from your brethren who live in their cities concerning bloodshed, law, or commandment, statutes, or ordinances, then you shall instruct them that they may not incur guilt before the Lord, and wrath may not come upon you and your brethren. Amen. May God bless to us his holy word. Now, some of you didn't seem to know that tune. It's a lovely, almost a merry tune, and I thought you would have sung it better, but you'll need to do it better next time. Well, now, Jehoshaphat's life is a study interesting not only in itself, but because of his military alliance with the apostate northern Israelite kingdom of Ahab's day, and also because of the marriage alliance, which often went with military alliance, the marriage alliance of his son Jehoram with Ahab and odious Jezebel's equally odious daughter, Athaliah. At first, Jehoshaphat did better than his father, Asa, in his earlier days, as we read in chapter 17. Like other kings of Judah did well to begin with, as many people do well to begin with in various ways. Indeed, we have an account there of one of the few teaching missions in the whole checkered history of Israel. You read of another one in Nehemiah chapter 8, instituted by Ezra. Nehemiah 8, verses 3 and 8, if you want to look up. When the princes and Levites and priests went round the whole land with the book of the law of the Lord in their hands, that is to say, in Jehoshaphat's time, teaching the people. With the result, as we read, amazingly, that the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms round about, and they made no war with Israel. Now this was God's purpose for Israel, that set there like a jewel in the middle of the Middle East. Men and women, nations, tribes around them should see the difference that Jehovah made to their lives. And first fear, and then like the Queen of Sheba, come and see and listen and learn and believe. Jehoshaphat's whole enterprise seems to have been done with such dispatch that one can hardly believe it was just the sudden moral reformation of the nation of Judah that had such fearful effects upon the surrounding pagan nations, but rather that God honored the king for his zeal and acted from above, transcendently, long before the ethical fruit of such a teaching mission was evident or potent. There are many instances in the scriptures and in Christian history of God acting swiftly for his people as soon as they repent and obey. Aren't there? Trust and obey, says the simple evangelical hymn. Nothing finer. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And the hymn beautifully brings the two ideas together, because they belong together. In fact, they often have the very same word in the original. But Satan was watching Jehoshaphat. And because wicked Ahab was already being harassed by Syria from the north on account of Ahab's sins, and by the way, that's another example of what one might call supernatural spiritual effects following upon moral, or rather in this case, immoral actions. I say, because wicked Ahab was already being harassed by Syria in the north for his sins, Jehoshaphat was induced by Ahab, as we read, to join him in battle against the Syrians at Ramoth Gilead. Famous name in biblical history. Chapter 18, which we read. And you know, Jehoshaphat could have lost his life there, nearly did, as Ahab, in fact, did with that fateful arrow. When Jehoshaphat returned from that expedition to Jerusalem, crestfallen and humbled, the prophet, the seer, Jehu, charged him with helping the wicked and loving those who hate the Lord. A very searching challenge to anyone, to all of us. Are we guilty of helping the wicked and loving those who hate the Lord? Come on now. Let's review our lives for a moment. Who do we love and who do we help in this widely polarized society in which we all live? Of course, you say, and I say too, we must be social and sociable within our community. We've got to live together. But we can't help taking sides and must always be for the Lord and for his people. Both
when they are for him positively because they are positively against his enemies, and also, but perhaps with less confidence, when they seem to be for him negatively because they are not against him. And so in these situations in which we live, nothing but patient discernment of the basis of the clear moral and spiritual teaching of the Word of God, nothing but that can keep us right. We must know our book to live by it. And that's what's wrong with so many, even professing Christians. How can they live by it when they don't know it? Read anything but the Bible. But now Jehoshaphat safely back in Jerusalem. No more visits to Israel and to Ahab's horrid house. Although, of course, the alliance of Jehoshaphat's son, Jehoram, descended from David, if you please, with Ahab and Jezebel's wicked daughter, Athaliah. How could Athaliah help but be wicked with such parents? That alliance, I say, went on with absolutely disastrous results. Do you remember the history later on where we read that Athaliah sought to murder all her son Ahaziah's progeny in favor of her retaining the throne of Judah herself? The daughter of Ahab and Jezebel, with a religion that came from Tyre, rankly pagan, wanting to be queen of Judah. And she was. And she wiped out the whole of the royal house, except one little boy, Joash, who was hidden in the precincts of the temple. And at last, when she was slain, he became king. And so, the line of David barely and narrowly survived through the action of the priest related to the royal family, Jehoshabeth. Now, we read all that sorry tale in 2 Chronicles, beyond our reading today, from chapter 21 to 24. But if you look at Chronicles 21 and 18, you will see something of the wickedness that ensued and the fruit of it. How this man Jehoram died. After all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels with an incurable disease. And if you were to look at chapter 21 and 1, you see other fruits of this wickedness. The inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, his youngest son, Jehoshaphat's grandson, king in his stead. For the band of the men that came with the Arabs to the camp had slain all the older sons. And if you look at the seventh verse there for a moment, but it was ordained by God that the downfall of Ahaziah, the grandson, should come about through his going to visit the other Joram, who was the son of Ahab and Jezebel in the north. For when he came there, he went out with Jehoram to meet Jehu, the son of Nimshi, whom the Lord had anointed to destroy the house of Ahab. And when Jehu was executing judgment upon the house of Ahab, he met the princes of Judah and the sons of Ahaziah's brothers who attended Ahaziah, and he killed them. He searched for Ahaziah, and he was captured while hiding in Samaria, and he was brought to Jehu and put to death. They buried him. For they said, he is the grandson of Jehoshaphat who sought the Lord with all his heart. However, back to our own story. Meantime, Jehoshaphat wisely returned to Jerusalem to attend to matters at home, and sent throughout all the land a team of judges to regulate affairs in the nation, which undoubtedly, as must have been expected, had degenerated after that glorious teaching mission, because of that unnecessary alliance and the war that intervened. But you see, this reforming mission, the priests, the Levites, and the heads of families, went out all over the land, and in Jerusalem in particular, charging the people in all matters of civil and communal and domestic strife to act in the fear of the Lord. If anyone said this, if anyone representing the government or even the royal family said this in radiant television, we would die of shock. Regulate your lives according to the fear of God. But that's what we must do. And that's why there's so much trouble in the world, because people don't do that. They don't fear God. Fear God! They hardly believe in him, let alone fear him. So in this second mission, you see, they're charging the people to act in the fear of God in respect of their loved ones and their neighbors and their friends and their enemies, if they have any, and in faithfulness and with their whole hearts. Chapter 19, verses 8 to 10, as you saw. So that they might not incur guilt, it says, and the wrath of the Lord descend upon the whole nation, as the wrath of the Lord often descended upon Israel because of the sin of one significant man. You can bring trouble upon your whole family. You can bring trouble upon your whole wider family, your whole tribe or clan. One person can bring trouble upon a whole church. One bitter, disorientated spirit can mar and poison the source of the stream of a whole fellowship and a nation. But you see, Jehoshaphat's serious misjudgment in going with Ahab to battle in the first place and not trusting the Lord in the matter of the Syrian threat had other, wider repercussions, as we shall see. The hidden spiritual connections between seemingly unconnected actions, like cables underground, or cables underwater, or high overhead wires, or even satellites. Such spiritual, hidden spiritual connections between seemingly unconnected actions in different parts of the world, or at different times, reach out. And those reached out to the heathen nations, to the southeast, you see, because of Jehoshaphat's sin. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the Meunites, whoever they were. And they all came together, all the people round the Dead Sea conspired together and came against Jehoshaphat in battle. Jehoshaphat couldn't but ask, although the prophet wouldn't have been slow to tell him if it had occurred to Jehoshaphat to ask the prophet, why this trouble had been stirred up from that quarter. Jehoshaphat's sin with Ahab was in the north, in respect of the north. Why should trouble arise following that sin from the opposite geographical direction, from the southeast? Well, that's just an example, friends, of the seeming complications, the seeming complicatedness of God's moral governance of the universe and the world of man. Often there may seem to be no logical or practical connection between this and that. But God knows the connection. His system of retribution and reward takes in the whole field of human endeavor, not only spatially, but temporally also. Things may happen in different parts of the world at the same time, and are only connected by God in heaven, the judge, as well as things may happen in the same place at different times that only God fully understands, and those to whom, like the prophets, he reveals them. After all, Jehoshaphat, you know, was a godly and spiritual man. He had certainly learned his lesson after he returned from Ramoth-Gilead and the death of Ahab. He certainly learned that lesson. Give him credit for that. And he was basically, undoubtedly, and this makes the lesson all the more challenging, a godly and spiritual man. And you see, such a spiritual man, such a godly man, can recover far more readily and fruitfully from a lapse than one who has been merely dipped into the Word of God and almost immediately strayed from the truth, hardly knowing it. Like looking into a mirror and then going away and forgetting. Chapter 20 and verse 3 says, we're going to read a bit of that later on. It says, he feared the Lord. Some of you will have read Sinclair Ferguson's excellent article in this quarter's Contact Point on the fear of God. Get it. I see some still there in the bookstore. Get it if you have not read it. And read it. And read as well Bill Dunlop, the student's traveling secretary's telling editorial, only one page. Jehoshaphat then feared the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. When all these nations, we haven't read this, but I want to go over the passage in a moment. The Moabites and the Ammonites and the otherites conspired against him. He couldn't understand why this had happened from the south when his sin was toward the north. And so Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. I think we should read that bit now. I'm talking about something we haven't read about. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles 20. After this, after Jehoshaphat had returned and instituted this second mission with the judges, the Moabites and Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, that's Esau's land, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is En-Gedi, on the shore of the Dead Sea. Then Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. That's to say, they're going to have a great big national prayer meeting when all these armies are massing on their borders. Do you hear that? Now that'll be enough to go on with in a moment. Back to my notes. Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. Can you imagine what would happen if the Queen and the Prime Minister did that? Called for a fast, or even for prayer in our land in a time of stress. The hue and cry there would be by all the godless leaders of our nation, in almost all his departments, even in the church. Friends, in few places are meetings for prayer despised more than in the church. The prayer meetings in the House of Parliament
every morning with godly MPs, a few, thank God. But prayer meetings, there hasn't been a prayer meeting in lots of churches in this city for 60 years.
They came from all the cities of Judah to seek the Lord. You see, don't you, what the fast really means? Don't be sidetracked by that. It was simply a matter of stopping doing all the things one normally did. The good things as well as the not so good. To listen to the Lord. Stop everything, drop everything, and run to the Lord. They in fact held a sort of Sabbath.
And how good it is to have that, I suppose all of us here would testify. That's why we're here this morning.
For many of us, this is the occasion of the week.
But remember, the godless allies and enemies of Israel were at that very moment massing toward the southeast. And to leave everything and run to Jerusalem, run to the Kirk, to fast and seek the Lord at such a time of extremity was a bit like David in his shepherd psalm. You remember the psalmist says that the Lord prepared a table before him in the presence of his enemies. How do you sit and enjoy a sumptuous repast, al fresco, a picnic, when the wild beasts, animal or human, are prowling around slavering for your blood? How do you enjoy a picnic then? But the psalmist did. That's what the shepherd psalm's about. But threat or no threat, the king led the mission and prayer. The king led the prayer meeting. Dear Elizabeth, note that. No priestly Archbishop of Canterbury to lead the prayers. No minister with a collar. The king did that himself. And what a prayer. Let's read it. Read from the fifth verse.
And Jehoshaphat, 2 Chronicles 20:5.